This is Speaking of Events, the podcast for event industry leaders. We bring together innovators, strategic rock stars, and visionary creatives to talk all about events, industry trends, and anything in between. And speaking of events, here is your host, Carrie Garbus.
It was a mild January in Seattle, and I invited a new connection I had on the Microsoft events team out for coffee. And so my new connection emails me and he tells me, I have a nasty cold and I can't meet you. And I'm bummed, but I email back saying that I really appreciated his commitment to self-quarantining. Note, it was 2015 and I used the word quarantine. So apparently I'm very advanced and ahead of my time in terms of pandemic vocabulary. So I would listen in closely for whatever's coming next. I digress. Happily, after the self-quarantining ended, which I think was like a day, we did end up meeting for coffee that same week, and I didn't catch anything from him other than the beginning of a really good story, of which you'll hear some of today, and I think it's still in play, the story that started over the coffee in 2015. I am so pleased to introduce my very second guest on Speaking of Events. The very respectful and healthy, although it doesn't really matter because we're on Zoom, so who cares? And now the director of events for T-Mobile, Dean Armantrout. Welcome. Yes. Hooray. Yay.
Thank you. Oh my gosh. I don't remember that. Is that how we began?
How we began. Oh my and gosh. I actually, last night, as I was prepping, went back through my emails and I was like, okay, when did this first exchange happen?
Oh my gosh.
You can go all the way back to your scent. And I was like, ooh, when was this? Yeah, it was 2015. And I seriously wrote, oh, thank you for self-quarantining. And I'm like, wow, that was way that was years pre-pandemic-y.
Little did you know you were a trendsetter on the terminology.
I guess, like not where I wanted to shine, but here we are. And yes, do you recall how we initially met?
I thought it was on site.
On site in like one of those in building 121 or something, but it was
on site at an event.
Yes. But it was somebody else on the events team said, hey, meet Dean, he's new.
Oh,
and
there
And I did. So here we are many years later. We've got, you are the same person, but different, very, you've got a little bit of a different life. You're married now, you have a child, you have a very different gig. Well, I don't know. You tell the people if you have a different gig. My perspective, it's kind of a different gig than what was going on before. So I'm excited to talk about it. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm excited too, Carrie. Thank you for having me.
You are very welcome. All right. First question. What is the one thing you wished more people knew about events?
That corporate event planners do not just plan parties. We bring to life creative, engaging experiences for audiences. We do a lot of work. We take care of thousands of every single details, whether it's for a couple hundred or several thousand people. I joke, but people really do like, oh, you plan parties, you plan weddings. I'm like, no, I don't. I manage multi-million dollar budgets for these massive experiences that connect people. That's what I do. Although that could be a wedding too, I guess. But I will say we do occasionally plan parties. And when we do, they are friggin' fabulous, but that's not the core of what we do. I think the other interesting thing, as I was thinking about this the other day, is, and I see this repeatedly, is event managers are continually ranked in the top 10 of most stressful jobs, up there with firefighters. Oh, you didn't know that. Up there with firefighters, doctors, paramedics, and it's kind of crazy. And you think about it, you think like, wait, we're not saving lives, and we're not. But you think about the stress level that goes into it. Is you've got literally, as I mentioned, there's thousands of details that go into a single event, regardless of the size of it. And most of that's time sensitive. And if you're doing a live event or even a virtual live event, you've got one shot to get it right. And you don't get it right, you're screwed and the whole thing falls apart. So I don't think people realize the stress and the pressure that goes into that. And it's kind of telling. And yet we're all still here doing it because we somehow love it.
You are. I'm curious about the heart attack rate in in event management? Now I'm really concerned.
Good question. Yeah. I feel like I've almost had a few of those, but not officially, not medically documented, but you gotta wonder.
Perhaps my podcast should go in a different direction, not speaking of events, but like meditating for events or something.
Totally. We could probably use that.
Right. We could just have a mindful moment. I did not know that specific stat. That is not surprising, being that I know you, I know many other event professionals, non-party planners, and everybody's very much type A, high energy, all over the place, but in a very controlled manner? Not necessarily.
We are all spastic in an organized fashion.
Yes, spastic in an organized fashion. Yeah, and really, I find most event people are very good at going from thing to thing to thing to thing. So how
my
do you
husband
do...
doesn't appreciate that as much as I think you do.
I'm here for you. You're
focused.
Welcome.
Focus.
And yes. And so what are some of those things that you really shine at, do you think? What's your zone of genius over there, Dean?
My zone of genius. Well, it's funny, despite the comment about the organized spastic people, which is kind of true. I noticed that myself and even my team members, like, it's easy to get worked up and kind of freak out about things before the event because you can. You can spin right on things, you can swirl, you can vent as much as you need to. But when you're in the moment, it's like a 180 for most of us. Because again, like I said, you've got one shot to get that right. And we kind of have dual personalities where you flip a switch. And some people obviously are calm all the time or not calm all the time. But in that moment on the event, if stuff's hitting the fan, you don't have time to freak out or anything. You've got to get to react quickly. And that's another key thing that we're really good at is problem solving on the fly. I mean, I was doing an event in Puerto Rico a couple years ago, and literally right as the opening video is rolling and our execs are about to come out on stage, the power went out. And you're like, okay. And you're just like, all right, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to get the speakers on stage. We're going to vamp, and you figure it out. And that's like one of dozens of moments that you have to figure things out like that. And I've got stories, so I'm blue in the face in terms of some of those things, but you really do have to stay calm on site. And I take pride in the fact that we do. I know some people describe myself as like, yeah, I'm very calm under pressure. And they're like, really? And I'm like, okay, not before the event, but at the event, watch me. I usually am.
Because you're in it, right? And yeah, there's only so much you can control at that moment.
Right. You have to stay calm. And again, all eyes are on you from either the audience or the executives or whatever. And it's like, it's on you or your team to like figure it out. And if something does go wrong, whether it's out of your control, like an act of God, power goes out kind of thing, they're looking at you like, fix it. They're like, okay, we will. And we do.
I think you may be saving lives. You said it earlier, we're not saving lives, but maybe you are. You don't know. You're right. You're connecting people. You're bringing, and you're saving people from the dark. Like what happened.
Totally. We're saving our tails from getting yelled at.
Right.
Song, but yeah.
Right. Exactly. And so, you know, that my gig over here at Ovation. So I am obsessed with speakers. So I love to talk about speakers. And my favorite topic is speaker disasters. Might you have one that you could share?
I've been fortunate. Well, it depends on what your level of disaster is. And again, a disaster to us is probably something different from someone who doesn't do this for a living. I've been pretty fortunate though. I think a lot of things with speakers is like back in the day, and I guess people still think this, where they think that 60-minute breakout sessions are a good idea, or that if you have a 60-minute breakout session that you should have 60 minutes of content. And like speakers who don't get that drive me crazy. And then it's just really, I mean, speakers themselves, you can only do so much. You can hope for the best and try to coach them and teach them, which is what you do very well.
Thank you.
But then once they're on stage, they may lose track of time. And I think some previous roles I had in my years is like speakers would run long, and then literally in a breakout session for like hundreds of people, and then the next speaker and people are coming in and they get like angry. And
yes,
they're like, no, bar the doors. Don't let people in. I'm going to keep talking until I'm done, by golly. And you're like, oh boy, And so that gets kind of hairy.
Yes, absolutely. You're right. The people management part, I assume, is very, and we only see a small piece of it, but I assume it's very, that is it, kind of the end push of the event, right? Because you've got all the big stuff and all the details that come together, and then it's live, and then you're like, oh, right, humans, I've got to do this and this. Right. I got to deal with the humans. Totally. So is there any favorite part of anything that came out of the past 2 years, the unique experience that I quoted as the time that everybody was quarantining, right? So when we went to virtual, what are some of the good things that came out of that? Could be nothing.
No, they did. It's like, wow. Well, I got to work from home more, but that's not always a good thing. As I know, right. Probably many people would agree with, yes. Especially if you've got lots of folks in your household working home. I'd say the interesting thing is, and look, at T-Mobile, we were incredibly fortunate. I mean, we had the pandemic hit. And honestly, for about 3 weeks, my team and I were like, oh crap. Like, look at what's unfolding in front of us or falling right. apart. There. And I know we're not alone in that, obviously. That happened all over the world, especially in our industry. And I think there was a legitimate fear of like, what's going to happen like to our jobs and what we do. And again, I know our industry's been devastated, and T-Mobile's very fortunate in that we quickly, after that 3 weeks, kind of like, all right, we have a choice to make, and we're going to make it, and we're going to flip. We got to flip to virtual. And thankfully we had the ability to do so and the support to do so. And we started out pretty rocky at first, pretty basic. I think just like an audio only webcast. Partly because of the timing, we had to get it spun around. And then we very quickly evolved into some pretty remarkable virtual productions. So I'm very proud of the team there. And I'd say what the team learned was a whole new set of skills. I mean, our events sometimes have a bit of a kind of virtual component to them, but that's not who we are and what we do. I mean, we are all about those in-person brand moments, connecting customers or employees. And really driving that excitement that you get in person. And so to suddenly flip everything on its end and figure out how to do it virtually was hard. And I know I speak for everybody in our industry that it was hard, and it's been hard. But the team has walked away with a ton of new skills, a ton of new ways to be creative, a lot of ways to stay fresh and figure out how to engage people in these virtual environments, which is also not easy. So I'd say that. I mean, we're stronger. What does not kill us makes us stronger. We are definitely stronger for it. We've definitely gained some new skills. I also think for us, we merged with Sprint during that time period too, right when the pandemic happened. And so my team grew significantly, and we suddenly had Sprint as part of our team, and we continued to hire as well to right-size our team for what we knew was coming. And that was hard too. You suddenly have an organization that's way bigger than it's been, and you've got team members that you're meeting each other this way in a little box. Yeah. And my entire team just met each other for the first time in person in December. And it was awesome. And that was after almost 2 years of working remotely in these little boxes. So it's kind of crazy. So I think it put everything on a level playing field though, in terms of like the new folks on the team. Whether it was through our merger or through additional hiring, we were all on the same footing. And while that was strange, it was kind of nice because there was no in the office, Bellevue versus other locations. You're all kind of even footing. So that was kind of nice.
That is awesome. And I'm so glad you guys got to get together in person.
It was so great. It was just, we've done virtual. We've done it well. We all know what can work. There's nothing like face-to-face. It's not, you can't replace it. I mean, you can do a lot virtually, but you cannot replace the value of being face-to-face. It's impossible.
I agree 100%. Is there such a thing as hybrid? Hybrid events are the big thing that I talk to a lot of yous. There's only one you, Dean, but a lot of other event professionals. Thank God. There's a lot of hybrid talk. So does it exist? What does it mean to you? Tell me.
It does exist. And again, like I think our model, it's not a big thing for us. And it depends on what you're doing as well. I mean, if you're doing like a big brand fame moment or a big, It depends. I mean, you could do like a big product launch for a tech company and you could do that virtually or hybrid. You can, I think a lot of big companies already had a bit of a hybrid approach. If you've got a giant keynote or sessions or whatever, and you're webcasting those, I mean, that's a hybrid event. It looks much differently now because there's a big engagement piece, which I would say before was already a struggle of like, how do you engage those virtual audiences when you've got an event of thousands and thousands of people? So I think there's been a lot of education of how to try to make that better. You have companies who've been super successful in virtual spaces and have had 24 or 48 hour events and have like exponentially increased their reach and the leads they're getting out of that. So those are very successful. That does not still replace that face-to-face component. So I still think there's a piece there, but it does help business in those cases. I think for us, again, we'll see. We've been doing some hybrid approaches, nothing like you're going to see on these like big tech company type things, because that's just not who we are. It's more about we want to be in person. We want to be there with you. We're going to pull you in and we're going to give you a platform to engage with us virtually, but we want to see you in person. We want to be there with you. We want to talk to you. We want to hear your cheers and excite you in person. So, but I think everybody's going to do it differently, but I definitely do think it exists though.
Cool. Do you have a favorite locale for the in-person events? Do you have favorite places you like to frequent?
You mean like cities or?
Yes and yes. Cities.
Yes and yes. Got it. We got to love New York. How can you not love New York?
I lived in New York for 20 years. I love New York. So yes.
I know. I mean, New York's got it all. I mean, it is the city that doesn't sleep. It's got it all. I mean, it's partly just from the excitement personally of being in New York, just the excitement that comes with it. But you also, when you're doing an event there, I mean, the nice thing is you can work 24/7, whether that's a good thing or not. You need to often on these events. And so at 3 a.m, if you need whatever piece of whatever, you can probably go find it. And so that's nice to have that accessibility of everything at your fingertips. I really do like New York. I mean, just because of it's just the energy it brings there. I think when you're doing an event there, it's even for the people who are attending the event, it's exciting. I love New Orleans. I haven't done an event in New Orleans in years, but I love New Orleans. Some people think I'm nuts, but just the food, the people, the culture, the weather, even when it's balmy in July and it's miserable, I still love it. It's fun. But yeah, I mean, anytime you're doing, I mean, Hawaii, who doesn't love doing an event in Hawaii?
Well, I wouldn't know because Hawaii is the only state I have not been to. So what? I will go sweep the floor for a T-Mobile. I swear, Dean, I will sweep the floor for a T-Mobile event in Hawaii. It is the only state I have not been to.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. That's crazy. Yeah. You have to get there. I will say though, the thing about Hawaii is like people see on social media is like, oh, poor you, you're doing an event in Hawaii. And like the last time I did an event in Hawaii, I was like, just so y'all know, I didn't even bring my swimsuit because I don't have time to swim.
Yes.
I also had one of my employees a couple years ago, we were in Hawaii and we're sitting on a balcony working on some stuff outside. Mind you, like it's nice, it's beautiful, whatever, but the sun's setting and she and I look at each other and we said, another romantic moment with our coworkers. Like you have these amazing, beautiful experiences on the road with your coworkers. It's like, it's not just quite the same thing as if I was with my spouse, but.
Yep, nope. And yes, I've had a lot of those nights as well of like, oh, you know, somebody will say, where are you? Oh, I'm in, you know, I could be in a different country or really, you know, I'm in New Orleans. It's great. And they're like, oh, go to blah, 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 get some oysters. And I'm like, yeah, I'm inside a hotel conference room. This is my life now. So thank you for that.
And I will say, again, in my previous life, I did a ton of international events and that was pretty remarkable just for some of the obvious things, just from the culture and the food and the people standpoint. And it's also just, I mean, there's some crazy challenges, especially because I've done some things in some developing countries, which make things almost impossible to do, but we've got great stories that come out of it. And those are some of the best experiences. And I think that's a key thing is, yeah, sure, I can spat out some cities or whatever, but at the end of the day, it's who you're with. Not meaning those romantic moments, but I mean, it really is your team of whether it's your internal team, whether it's your partner, your agency team, it really makes a difference who you're with. And if you've got a good team, it shows, and we do thankfully. And cause you just gel, you get each other, you know, when to tell each other that you need to eat cause you're getting bitchy. At least my team knows that they have full reign to tell me that. So it's nice because it makes all the hard work and the stress worth it when you're all working together so well. So
how do you gather a good team? I mean, that's a huge challenge for a lot of people right now, getting good staff. So yeah. What's your secret over there?
We have a lot of fun. I mean, we do some cool shit here. We work hard, we play hard. I think that's a bit of a mantra for anybody in the event industry, but we really do. I mean, we pull some crazy things out of our hats. I did it here. I've done it in my previous companies I've worked for. And that's just the nature of events. And I don't know. I mean, you do know if it gels, it gels. And if it doesn't, I'd say you quickly figure that out and you make changes. And again, not everyone's going to gel with everyone, and that's okay. There's tons of work. There's tons of partners out there to do great work with, and you've got to find the right one that's right for you. But when you do, it just helps build that camaraderie, and your team wants to work on those events and they want to work with those people, and it makes a big difference. And I think as long as you're doing that hard work, and it might be stressful, but as long as you're fun, as long as you feel like you can be creative, have that autonomy you need, I think you're gonna find people are willing to put their best foot forward.
Yes, that is awesome. At least I hope.
Yes. I'll let you know if anybody in my team thinks otherwise.
Yeah. Oh, please do. Also, I want to know what your bitchy snack is. Like, what are they bringing you when you're in a when you're in a mood?
Reese's peanut butter cups usually work well.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay. Short-lived, though, because there's not a lot of protein there. I guess the peanut butter in there, but like a Snickers usually just some chocolate helps me.
Okay, noted. Chocolate, all the chocolate. May we switch gears a bit? Are you up for that?
Totally.
I want to know, because I met you in your previous role at Microsoft. So how can you take us back a bit further and give me a little timeline how we got here?
Sure. I was born in a cornfield in Ohio. Not quite a cornfield, sort of. I lived among them, not literally
among them. The corn. Oh, interesting.
My house was next to a big cornfield. I did not literally live. I'm not Children of the Corn. If you remember that movie.
That's disappointing. Go on.
Anyway, I did grow up in Ohio, and then went to school in New York in Syracuse. And then realized I had no idea what lake effect meant. And I got the hell out of there after the first semester.
You went to Syracuse?
I did, just for a semester.
Oh, you know, that's where I went to school also.
I know. And I know, totally.
Yes, it's where our whole world started. Okay.
I was only there a semester. I lived in Day Hall. Day Hall. Yeah. I lived in Day Hall. It was great, but literally there were a variety of factors of why I left. But when I came back after the holiday break and the snow was, and I grew up in Ohio, but not at the lake.
I hear it. It's very different up there. Yes.
Yeah. I was like, this is not normal. I can't do this. But that was the straw that broke the camel's back. But anyway, I then transferred and went to school in Missouri, University of Missouri. And then after that, I moved to St. Louis and landed a job at Merit's Travel Company. And so hence I got my ever so useful degree in English literature, which I was insistent was going to be so great and well-rounded. And it was such the best degree I could get. And then I graduated and I thought, what the hell am I going to do with this? But I landed a job at Merit's in their call center, answering phones for, I'm going to date myself. But it was a tech conference. Not the tech company I went to work for, which was Microsoft, but another tech company, Novell Brainshare, tech conference they were doing. And we were answering phones for taking registration and housing requests. This was in 97, I think, 97. And literally not every desk had a computer on it, which seems crazy this day and age. And younger people are going to watch this thinking I'm really old, but I don't think I am. But literally we had to, like, our team had computers because of all the work we had to do, and you're literally still faxing things in, and it was insane. But I did that, and then I was a travel writer briefly at Merit's, and then they landed the Microsoft account. And so I started working on registration projects for them, and we're building out online registration systems for them. 7 years later, I was managing the Microsoft account on the marketing.
Amazing.
Side. Yeah, it was crazy. And then I traveled to Seattle a ton, and probably about once a month for several years in a row. And I loved it out here. And then life changed for me in Missouri, and I was like, I'm ready to go. And I actually called one of my clients at Microsoft, and I said, hey, things have changed. I'd love to move to Seattle. Any chance you have any openings? And as luck would have it, she's like, someone on my team gave notice 3 days ago. So yeah. So I quickly went through the interview process, and thankfully I did something right, because I landed a job on the corporate events team at Microsoft in 2004. Yeah. And then off I went, this big old Midwest, not big, but I'm like a little guy, this Midwest boy, off to the great Northwest, the Pacific Northwest. So, and then that's where really, I mean, I really kind of came into my own then. It's kind of like my coming of age story began in Seattle. But I worked for Microsoft for 13 years in a variety of roles, first on their corporate events team. Then I moved to their internal readiness team, managing a series of sales, international sales training programs and events. And then I went to work for our partner marketing team, and Microsoft has these massive conferences, one of which is their partner conference, of which you know very well.
Yes.
Hence where we met. like these tens of thousands of people, partner conference. I think at the time, probably about 15,000 or so. And then I started managing marketing and demand gen for that conference, and then later took the event over. Did my thing there and loved it, and then realized it was time to make a change after 13 years. And then T-Mobile came knocking on my door. I'm like, well, this looks interesting.
Wait, they didn't call? That seems weird. Okay.
It's like, who knocks on the door? They only do that in the Midwest. Texted first.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I made the move here, and I love working at Microsoft. It was great, but I realized, I was like, you know what? It's time for a change. I need to do something different. It'd been 13 years, and I wanted to manage a team. I hadn't yet had that experience, like directly managing people. And so I had that opportunity here, and that was 4.5 years ago. And it's been a wild ride. It's awesome. My team has tripled in size since I started 4.5 years ago.
Wow.
That means our scope has tripled in size as well. But we do some pretty cool stuff, and it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun.
That is amazing. I loved that work journey, some of which I didn't know. That's super cool. Thank you. And you've got a million things going on. T-Mobile's busy. Events are happening, and it's super exciting. And what else? Anything else in your life? Is there time for anything else?
My 5-year-old.
Peanut butter cuts?
Fighting my daughter over the peanut butter cups.
Yes.
My daughter takes up most of that time. Today's the 100 days of kindergarten. So we had to. She did. She made her own dress. We are now the proud owners of a bedazzler, which I never in a million years thought I would ever own. But we got one, and we bedazzled her dress with 100 little gems.
Wow.
Although I did call out my husband today, because he helped her do the bedazzle thing. And I told on him to her kindergarten teacher, because I said, yeah, my husband apparently needs to go back to kindergarten, because there's actually 101 gems on this thing.
Just one for good luck. Just an extra.
Yeah.
Just some extra flair. I like it.
Totally. Yeah. It's one to grow on. So tomorrow you can celebrate even more. 101
days. Yes. Oh, how exciting. I hope she has a fabulous day.
She will.
We just had 100 days out here, and my daughter wanted to, she wanted gray spray in her hair. And that's what we did. She went granny style.
It was like she was 100 years old kind of thing.
Yes. Yes. And we had, yes. So she dressed up as her great grandmother who just recently passed at 100. So she was like, call me Grace. That's what she kept wanting. Call me Grace.
That's so sweet.
Yes.
An homage to Grammy. That's very cute.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
But yeah, that pretty much takes up the rest of my time.
That,
as you know.
Yeah. Yes. I'm honored you've been sitting here with me for a half an hour. It's pretty cool.
She's in kindergarten. I'm good. We can talk all day now.
Right.
until I have to pick her up.
Oh, right. Oh, that's true. And it's only 9:25 where you are. So we're good. We're good all day.
Totally.
We're good. No. I'm going to speed things along and take you into our lightning express round. Oh. Are you ready, Dean?
I'm ready.
Okay. We're going to get 45. Yeah. You had some coffee. 45 seconds on the clock. Not really. It's not really, there's no clock, but we're putting 45 seconds on the clock. I'm going to ask you some questions as fast as you can.
Okay.
and go. What is your what is your favorite moment in the event process?
When you're managing a big keynote production and literally like it's all dark and then it just kicks into action. The lights go up, that video rolls, the music swells. It's literally, to this day, 25 years later, I still get chills and sometimes tears in my eyes.
Oh, I love that. All right. What is something you wish you didn't have to do?
Work? Okay.
Wait a minute.
Just kidding. Oh my gosh.
Mine would be exercise.
I don't know. Oh, I thought it was event related.
No, this is life related.
This is life.
This is life, Dean. Whatever you want.
I'd probably be with you on that. Exercise. Yeah.
I mean, I like to exercise, but it's a pain and it's difficult. It's hard.
Yeah,
I do it. We're getting off track. Okay.
I do it because you have to, but yeah, it takes up time and yeah.
All right, we're getting back on the Lightning Express. And third question. What was your favorite Super Bowl ad?
T-Mobile.
Yes, of course. Hi. Dolly obviously, Barton. Dolly, right?
Miley Cyrus.
Yes.
Easy, okay. Next question. That should be everybody's favorite ad.
Yes, so far, yes. Who do you consider your mentor?
Oh gosh, Katie Quigley.
I love Katie.
You know Katie.
Oh, yes, I do.
Katie's a good mentor of mine. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Katie.
She's amazing. I've worked for her twice at Microsoft.
Yeah.
I would do it again in a heartbeat. I'm not telling you anything, T-Mobile, just saying.
Right.
but she's fantastic. She's a fantastic leader. She's a great coach. She's wonderful.
Amazing. Oh, love that answer. Okay. What do you do to stay healthy and sane every day?
Exercise. Back to previous right, question of what you wish you didn't have to do. I do exercise, and that it does really help kind of put me in my zen mode and stay fit. Honestly, being with my family, that might sound cheesy, but it really does kind of ground me. I mean, you might have a crazy day, and granted, five-year-olds can be crazy enough, but you come home at the end of the day and just we have dinner together every night. That's a non-negotiable, and it makes a big difference, and it just kind of puts everything else out, and you get to focus on each other for at least that period of time.
Love it. Cool. All right, Dean, I have three T-Mobile shout-outs in my studio right now. What are they?
Three T-Mobile shout-outs. Do it for the phones. You're paying attention to the ads. 5G on your top left, and maybe your magenta. Yeah.
Totally. And my T-Mobile magenta. Okay.
Nicely done.
Excellent. You nailed it. If you weren't talking to me right now, what would you be doing?
Email. I'm sure it's piling up. Emailing.
Oh, I know. Isn't that terrifying? Right? You get done with something, you're like, "Oh, how did this happen? Whoa!" Okay.
Wait, I can't multitask during this call.
Right. Right. Exactly. Thank you for not, Dean. No, final question in our lightning round that has probably gone now 5 minutes. Dean, what makes you a tiger?
Oh, ow!
This is a shout out to his alma mater, not Syracuse.
Oh, I thought you were referring to, that's funny. I thought it's Year of the Tiger and I am a tiger for the Chinese, or the Lunar New Year.
Oh, I'm a tiger too. I don't know. Oh, okay. It could be anything. I was doing a shout out to your alma mater.
To Mizzou Tigers.
Yes.
Yeah. I was Lunar New Year. Well, I'm both. Okay. I guess I think there's irony there that I am a Mizzou Tiger and I am the Year of
Synergy. There it is.
Yes. Determination. Fierce and fabulous, maybe. Determination. Uh-huh.
And now you have a bedazzler. So you're
and now I have a bedazzler, totally.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'd like to take you back to the core values of Mizzou, which are respect, responsibility, discovery, and excellence. I learned something yesterday. I was like, what's Mizzou about? I found it.
I'm glad you didn't ask me those because I don't know those.
I'm not going to ask you the core values of your university. I can't tell you Syracuse core values other than like orange, M Street.
Totally.
Beer. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Anything else you would like to share with the Speaking of Events audience before we close out, say goodbye, get you some peanut butter cups?
There's some peanut butter cups. Yeah. Probably most people who are watching this or listening to this, like they get events, but if not, so they already know this, but it's like, I joked earlier that we're a lot of fun, but we are a lot of fun. And it really does go back to the relationships. I mean, not to sound all serious and smarmy, but I mean, literally, I mean, Gary, you and I met after I was quarantined for a few days several years ago, and then before quarantining was a thing. But you really make some great relationships. You meet fantastic people, and those don't go away. I mean, you're working in the trenches with some of these people, insanely long hours all over the world, crazy experiences, and those stick with you, and they build strength, but they build camaraderie. And those, I mean, I haven't been at Microsoft in 4.5 years, but I still keep in touch with tons of people there, and they're some of the best days of my life, and I'm building more of those days now with the people I work with today. So those relationships are really what matters, and it seems like that'd be obvious, but I think it is really, really important in our industry for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. Yes. So where can people find, if you want to be found, where can they find you?
You can find me on LinkedIn, Dean Armantrout.
Dean Armantrout. That's the best way. Yep. T-Mobile. Is there really another Dean Armantrout out there? I doubt it.
I know. He used to be Dean Martin, as you know, but
the things
kids and marriage do for you. But, and I was named after Dean Martin. I don't know if I told you that.
You did not, but I mean, I maybe guessed.
It was my dad's favorite singer. Yeah.
I love it.
I gave that name up for my kid and my husband so that we all had the same name, Team Armantrout.
Yes. Love it. All right. So people are going to find you on LinkedIn if they want to find you.
Sure.
And I will, of course, continue to stalk you. I mean, I've now decked. Please look. Do. Look what I did.
Love it.
Decked up. There's always a G here, but I did a five. I was like, oh, how can I T-mobilize my little studio? And I was like, oh, 5G. Exciting.
If you talk to anybody from Verizon or AT&T, please leave those up when you're talking to them.
Oh, this is staying. Do not worry about that. It is awesome. Here. And the pink,
love it. Magenta. Magenta.
Yes. I'm sorry. Magenta. Yes. This is why I need you in my life more, to give me the fashion feedback. Well, this has been a fun time. Thank you very much. I really appreciate all the insights and the stories, and I hope that we get to actually meet for like in-person coffee soon.
Hopefully I won't be quarantining.
And that you won't be self-quarantined for any reason.
Totally. Yeah. Really.
And I would love that. So thank you very much for your time. Thank you to our listeners. If you've hung on this long, congratulations. And if you like events, if you love events, if you loathe events, just tell someone about this podcast. It's easy. And as always, whatever you speak about, remember to be speaking of events. Thank you, Dean.
Thank you so much. It's been super fun.
Excellent. That's it.
Speaking of events is sponsored by Ovation, the gold standard for professional presence and speaker development training, helping everyone get prepared, get confident, and get ovationed.